99.5.
Joe,
the Party Godfather's got the soul and the funk here on the airwaves for one more half hour before we round it out and leading into the Brian Kilmeade Show at 10 o'clock.
She's coming to the Wilson Center in March.
Oh, really?
Gladys Knight.
I want to say she's made multiple appearances over at the Wilson Center up in Wilmington over the last several years. Yeah, nice concert venue up that way. What is it, along 3rd Street in downtown Wilmington, I believe?
Yes, close to
their,
Cape Fear.
Cape Fear Community College. Our friend Joe Moglia is back with us. Coach Joe Moglia, a former chairman of the board, TD Ameritrade. You may see him on CNBC's Squawk Box, hangs out with Maria Bartiromo every now and then on the Fox News and Business Channel, and with us here to round out the guest list this morning here on Hot Talk 99.5. Coach, how goes it, my friend? Good morning.
Good morning, Joe. I'm good, thank you.
Hey, from the world of finance to the college football ranks, I mean, you cover it all with us, and we appreciate your time, as we always do. We know it's valuable, but I do want to take some time to recognize you. Last week, you have a very near and dear cause that you have helped contribute to. It's known as Hustle 2.0. Can you give us a little bit more info on the organization and why you decided to help out in their efforts?
Hey, Joe, actually, there's a it's related to the federal penitentiary system in the United States. And the recidivism rate, that means when you get released from prison, you go back in again, in the United States is 76%. That is by far a multiple of pretty much the average of the world. And that reinforces the fact that we really are not very, very good at this. And so if 3 out of 4 people that get out of jail go back in, I mean, that's just no good. There's a problem with that. So there is a lady by the name of Kat Jackson who has dedicated the last 25 years or so of her life to this and trying to make sure that when an inmate gets out, they call them mavericks. They don't call them inmates. They don't call them felons. They get a chance to get back. So as an example, think about the worst thing you've ever done in your life. Literally think about that. And the audience should think about that for a minute. And suppose for the rest of your life, that's the only thing you were known for. Well, that's really what happens to the inmates. They come out, there's so many jobs they can't even apply for. They're always asked, you know, if they have a felony record or what have you. So about 10 to 12 years ago, I actually started to work with her on this. And she and I have gone into prison. So recently, or a little while ago, Pelican Bay is a maximum, supermax security prison in Northern California, and it has about 4,000 inmates, and it houses all the gang leaders in the United States, with the exception of the Italian mafia. And I've had a chance, for example, to sit down for 2.5 hours with 12 of them, and another 2.5 hours with 12 of them. And then I've had a chance to actually be in solitary confinement with some of them. I find it very, very, very meaningful. And I think you're very much aware, I grew up in a gang, uneducated parents. My family was a generation away from poverty and illiteracy. And I think in the back of my head, that could potentially have been me. I lost 2 of my very good best friends in grammar school when I was in high school. One died of a drug overdose. The 2 was killed by the police robbing a liquor store. And I've often said that if I had not been playing high school football, I may have been with the guy robbing a liquor store. So it's a cause that's near and dear to my heart. I'm happy to help out.
I mean, I was
a Provo Utah for that.
Coach, I would suspect there are a lot of people who have dealt with a very similar set of circumstances, no matter when you grew up or where you grew up, when it comes to just being one bad choice away from having your life changed forever. And, this is supposed to be the land of second opportunity. And as you highlighted, we don't do a great job in reintegrating some of these people who make mistakes. And some will continue a life of crime or whatever it might be, in the crosshairs with the law. But there's no question folks like yourself can make an impact. And you've helped thousands since getting involved This is near and dear to you. Why is it important to, you do a lot of different things, from helping lead young men on the college football field to your work in Wall Street. But given that you can lend a hand, whether that be financially or just through your own experiences and storytelling and your ability to connect with people, how vital and what piece of that pie does that play in what you try to accomplish on a day-to-day basis, through Joe Moglia?
Well, when I first was aware of this, I donated from a financial perspective. But then I was actually brought to the prison with a group of executives, and we went through certain exercises, and you realize that the similarities between these people. By the way, the 24 gang leaders that I mentioned, the lightest sentence is life with possibility of parole. They're all in for life with no possibility of parole. But working with them can have a positive – they are the ones that can have a positive impact on others around them. And that's the reason why Kat chose to work with them and brought me in to help out as well. I think from my perspective, I began from financially, but then I actually went through one of these exercises where you realize that there's a lot of similarities with the guys on the other side of the line, versus where we are. The difference is most of the time they have come from horrible homes and backgrounds, addictions, et cetera, and have minimal education. So you think about how blessed my football players are. By the way, in 2016, we were the only program in the country, maybe 2015, in the country. The two things we did nobody else had ever done at the time. One, our entire team of Coastal Carolina voted for the President of the United States in 2016. I think it was 2015. I brought my entire team to the Bennettsville State Penitentiary in South Carolina. And this lady was the one who helped orchestrate that with the governor at the time, Nikki Haley, because these are not easy to do. And my players and I and my staff spent 10 hours with the inmates there. So when you get a feel up close of what's going on, you see it's not a joke. There's no kidding around here. And how significant it is. The one thing I've never had a lot of in my time, and one thing now at this point in my life, I'm trying to find more time and more flexibility. So it's not like I have a lot of time to do things, but when you donate your time, it's kind of extra special. And this is one of the things that I'm willing to donate my time to because I think it's so significant.
In your communication with some of these mavericks, as you said, in your work alongside this organization, Hustle 2.0, how vital do you think it is to them to be able to speak with someone like yourself, a civilized guy, as you mentioned, who never crossed that threshold, even though you were very close to crossing that line as a young person?
The way Kat has explained this to me, they like my background. They like the fact that I grew up in a gang. They like the fact that I grew up in the streets. They like the fact that I was part of that. They like the fact that I stole. They like the fact that I got in the fights, et cetera. But every one of these guys loves football. And then I have my football background. And every one of these guys, the reason why I'm in jail, they're trying to make money. So they have a love for football. They have a love for money. And they appreciate the way and how I grew up. So the combination of those really kind of seems to make a difference to them. So they listen to something that I have to say. There's one other piece to this. And that is Kat. Kat has actually come to not just the prison thing, but actually brought a couple of her previous mavericks to speak to my team. And they spent 2 or 3 days with us back around 2013-14. And she very much embraces the band philosophy. So part of what they do is she provides a program that she works on with the inmates. And a piece of that is band, a standard where you stand on your own 2 feet and take responsibility for yourself, the standard where you treat others with dignity and respect, and the standard where you recognize if you don't take responsibility for yourself, you're going to live with the consequences of your actions. Every one of those people are in there for that reason. So the combination of all of those are the reason why I believe I resonate with them.
Well, Coach, I know this is real personal to you, and thank you for providing some insight on that and helping us gain even more perspective about your life and mission, not only on the college football field, through the world of finance, but also utilizing your talents and your ability to connect with people through this great organization. Hey, another friend of yours, by the way, we were talking about this earlier with economist Dr. Rob Salvino of the Wall School of Business over at Coastal, talking about the state of the economy, where were we in 2025, where he thinks we're heading in 2026. And I made mention a little while ago, I got news from the South Carolina port that I'm not sure if you're aware, but here in South Carolina, We're the only state, at least here on the East Coast, that has two inland ports, one in the Dillon area and one over in Greer. And while the port has seen slower traffic this year in terms of cargo volume and a variety of reasons why, down in Charleston, the inland ports, the rail service there, CSX in Dillon, has seen actually an uptick in what they've been able to accomplish in terms of cargo being moved from point A to point B. I make reference to that because a friend of yours, he goes by the name of Warren Buffett. He bought a rail line not too long ago and not in the market to buy any more, but he wants to create ways that we can be more efficient when it comes to coast-to-coast rail services in our country. Now, why would you think Warren Buffett will want to get into the railroad industry here in the year 2025?
Well, Warren got involved with the railroad industry probably about 10 to 15 years ago. I think he began by buying or got involved with Burlington Northern. Then there was a few years ago where he bought a huge chunk of CSX. And I think when you think about economic growth and you think about that's all related to business, and the business got to be able to handle the needs of the clients with the needs of the shareholders. That means you got to be able to run a business that winds up making some money. So to be able to transport certain certain goods and services across the country in bulk, one of the cheapest ways to do that is by railroad. And sometimes that's an easy way to travel. I mean, when I'm in, if I'm in Philadelphia and I got to get to New York, I go by train. If I'm in New York and I need to get to Washington, I go by train. But in terms of the transportation of goods, not services, but of goods, of course, country, that would be an easy way to do that. And that's been a home run trade for him. In fact, I've tried to get into that trade a little bit. Union Pacific, for example, is headquartered in Omaha, Nebraska.
Yeah.
And I was friends with their CEO, and I owned Union Pacific stock at one point, but then I got out of it, and I've been looking for a shot to be able to get back in, and then it got away from me. So right now I'm focused more on AI and the crypto trade.
And of course, Warren Buffett recently exited as the CEO of Berkshire Hathaway, and obviously you spent a lot of time with him, around him, over in Omaha over the years. When you talk about his life, his legacy, what are some of the things that come to mind?
I think he's a regular guy. He really is. For a person that at one time was one of the richest people in the world, it was back and forth between him and Gates. He's got a great sense of humor. He's a very, very warm guy. He's quick-witted. And he really loves what he does. And I know once in a while we've talked about the idea of being happy in your life. And I talked about the concept of spiritual soundness, knowing who you are so you make the right decisions. So you're going to spend most of your time at your work or your career. So you better have a job or career path that you have both have the skill sets and are passionate about. I can't think, Joe, of a better example of a guy that loves, and is passionate about what he does, and it really has extraordinary skill sets for it, than Warren Buffett. And that's the reason why he's lasted well into his 90s and still incredibly effective as an investor. And I think when you think of investments and investors, he's got to be at the top of the list. He's an icon. He's always going to be remembered for that. But he's a good man. He's a good man. And there were times when I needed help, I needed advice, and he took time out to sit down with me and provide that for me, and I'll always be grateful for that.
How important is it to you, as you continue to grow, expand into different avenues, to take time to people that are close to you, that have worked alongside you, to lend those sorts of thoughts and tips and other sorts of ways in which you could assist people around your circle in any way, shape, or form, to pass along a little knowledge that you've been able to capture over your longstanding career across multiple industries?
Joe, I think, first of all, I appreciate that question. I think a lot of people, talk about like their friends or acquaintances that they enjoy, but everybody's busy. We travel, we're in different parts of the country, et cetera, so we don't get a chance to get together. Then all of a sudden, there's a death that you run into that person, or there's a big family event, something that you run into that particular person. So we got to get together, and you realize how much you miss that person. But you know what? You're still busy. You still can't get together. Still don't do it. And life gets in our ways. We have families. We have jobs. We have all sorts of different things going on. But then there was an event that really marked my life, or it touched me, and that was 9/11. And I lived 100 yards from the World Trade Center. My son and daughter were working 100 yards from the World Trade Center. I worked in Merrill Lynch for 17 years, 200 yards from the World Trade Center. And I was just in Omaha when I took the Ameritrade job about a few months when the buildings went down. And I lost four friends in that building. One was a very close friend. And then I thought I lost my son in that building. And I think after that, no matter how busy I was, I need to make time for people in my life that matter to me. So frankly, I'm well organized. And wherever I am around the country, I have a priority list. And instead of just going in, having 12 meetings and getting out, I'll try to go in and spend an extra night or not have 12 meetings, have 5 meetings. So I get a chance to reach out to the people that matter to me, the people that I care about or the people that I want to get to know better or the people that I really do know. So I made a pretty good effort that I'm actually proud of over the last 24 years since 9/11 to reach out to people that matter to me. And I recognize that time's gone by and I've not been able to do that, then I'll make it a point to text somebody. But I do try to make an effort to do that. But like everybody else, I understand everybody's busy. But after 9/11, when I thought I lost my son and I lost my best friend, or one of my best friends, I said, you know what? I don't care. I've got to take time out to do this. It's more of a priority.
And hey, wrapping up with Coach Joe Moglia, again, former chairman of the board, TD Ameritrade, Coastal football coach. Coach, a lot of people on Main Street hear a lot about the evil billionaires and the heads of these corporations and all the money they make. And you think of the hotshot Wall Street guys with their slick suits, their luxury cars, and their mansions out in the Hamptons. But from what you're – and I'm sure there are plenty of those, maybe even a dime a dozen. But when you speak of somebody like Warren Buffett, when I think of you, and, hey, you like nice things. You've worked incredibly hard to earn those nice things and pass them along eventually generationally to your family. But oftentimes, how often do you bump into people who are extremely highly successful, but as you kind of highlighted with the description of Mr. Buffett, kind of ordinary guys that have put themselves in great positions and have worked their tail off to succeed in whatever trade that they're in?
You know, there are plenty of people. It's not a matter of kind of billionaire. You can think in terms of people that are successful. There are a lot of people that really think, very, very highly about themselves. But frankly, they're assholes, and I don't enjoy spending time with them, so I just don't, or I avoid them. But there are so many people that have been successful that are really good people, good men and good women that you can learn from, that you can enjoy spending some time with. So I think it's a matter of somebody's attitude. And if someone appreciates what they have, I think gratitude is a very, very big deal. And they have the personality that's simply warm and friendly. You know, they're the type of people that I'd rather be around. And if you're a little bit arrogant and you think, you're better than everybody else on the planet, I don't have a lot of patience for that.
No doubt. Knowing you, you're a straight shooter. You call it like the way you see it. Coach Joe Moglia, as we wrap up, all right, been up and down this year on Main Street, as I mentioned a little while ago, and talking with our resident economist, Dr. Salvino. On Wall Street, a pretty good year. I'm looking at my 401k, my IRA, some of my financial portfolio. What do you have in store? Interest rate cuts have gone down last couple of months. What do we see here through the first quarter 2026 that excites you or that concerns you?
I think most people that have been invested in the markets have had a pretty good year. I said there has been an exception to that. And, I had a pretty good year going as well. And in the last couple of months, the crypto world has really gotten slammed. And I believe that 5 years from now, a lot of the financial world is going to be tokenized, which means you can do a trade anytime you want to, 24/7, by 365. There's not going to be a need for the exchanges. I mean, AI and crypto and all these, the blockchain, all these things are really very, very much taken over. And 5 years from now, you're not going to recognize the financial markets relative to the markets we've known up until now. So I think getting involved with Bitcoin, Ethereum, Solana are really, really important trades. They should be part of somebody's portfolio. They have gotten crushed in the last couple months, and I have been an aggressive buyer of that. Now, that getting crushed has hurt my performance over the span of the last couple months and for the year. But I would suggest people seriously think about at least putting part of their portfolio into the – specifically Bitcoin, Ethereum, or Solana. Don't get involved with a lot of the other things, but that's very much a way of the future, and they have gotten crushed. Whereas a lot of the other stocks, financials or technology or consumer finance or whatever you might think of, away from technology, they've all done pretty well. Crypto hasn't, and I think now is an excellent time to buy.
Hey, Coach, I always value our time together. I could talk with you all day long, my friend. And I thank you very much for spending a little time with us every now and then to talk on the issues of the day. Thanks again.
Joe, Merry Christmas to you and all of your fans.
Absolutely. And Merry Christmas to you, Coach Joe Moglia, former chairman of the board at TD Ameritrade. Cover a little of this, cover a little of that. Very versatile in where we go with the conversation when Coach joins us every couple of weeks here on Hot Talk 99.5.